Carbosa, good to Boch. Announce the date. So I saw it. Motzoi Shabbos, the 13th of December, Yutes Kislev tonight. Significant day for the Lubavitchers, Chassidim. For bringing. For bringing. Okay. In this morning's laning in Parshas Vayishlach, we read about the death of Rachel Imenu. And the Torah records, as everybody knows, that Rachel Imenu died in childbirth when delivering her second son Binyamin, the last of the Shvatim. And the Torah describes in the Bereishis Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Yutes, Vatomas Rachel Vatikover Biderech Ephrosa Hi Beis Lachem. Rachel died and she was buried on the way to Ephros, which is Beis Lachem. And then it says in Pasuk, Vayatsev Yaakov Matseva al Kvurosa, he Matseves Kvuros Rochel ad Hayom. And Yaakov put up, or he erected a Matseva, a monument, a tombstone, al Kvurosa, on her grave, he Matseves Kvuros Rochel ad Hayom. This is the stone, the monument on the burial place of Rochel to this day. I'm sure that all of us who have had this chus to visit Eretz Yisrael, spent some time in Kever Rochel. Most people who go there for tours and so on, Kever Rochel is one of the stops. And those who haven't been to Eretz Yisrael have most likely seen pictures of Kever Rochel, the familiar domed-shaped structure on the side of the road as you enter into Beis Lechem. And it's a familiar Jewish landmark, Kever Rochel. Over the years, Kever Rochel has become a place where Jews go to daven and to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cry, to say tchinas, and to say bakoshes. Perhaps especially women go there, people who are looking for a shidduch or they're looking to have children. So Kever Rochel is a popular spot that people go to daven at. Many people have a certain emotional connection to Kever Rochel. I myself have a certain emotional feeling about Kever Rochel for other reasons. And again, as I said, it's a well-known Jewish landmark. And that's what seems to be referred to in our Pasuk, because it says that Yaakov Avinu built this tombstone, this monument above the kever, on top of the kever of Rachel. Now, to be perfectly honest, I have to point out that there is some discussion among historians, and perhaps among certain archaeologists, as to whether or not this place that we popularly call Kever Rachel is in fact actually the place which our Pasuk is referring to, the place where Rachel actually died and was buried. There are those who say that it is not. And that, in fact, Rachel died and was buried someplace else. That's not the, this is not what we call Kever Rachel. It's not really Kever Rachel. She died elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael. And the Beis Lechem referred to in this Pasuk is not the Beis Lechem that we know today. It's a different, it's not the Bethlehem of today. It's a different place. And there are some interesting proofs that are reduced to that.
Right.
But more recently, there have been other essays about it, and we're not going to discuss that right now. Just wanted to point it out that there was some discussion whether what we call Kever Rachel is actually the place that's referred to by our Pasuk. But certainly, in tradition, that's the place. And I said before, it's a significant landmark. So one thing for sure is that even if we assume that this, in fact, is Kever Rachel, Rachel is buried here. The building that I referred to before with the domed roof, that certainly wasn't built by Yaakov Avinu. That building is maybe a couple hundred years old. It goes back, I think, to the 1700s, the building with the dome on top. Now, the truth is, now you can't even see the building with the dome on top because the Arabs started up there, and after the whole debacle at Kever Yosef in Shechem, so they built a whole wall in front. in different stages. Now I think the whole thing is enclosed in a huge structure. You don't really see the old Kever Rachel from the side of the road anymore. It always bothered me the last few times I've been to Eretz Yisrael. You pay attention when the bus turns around. The name of the street is called Yasser Arafat Street. That's the name of the street there. But you can still go to Kever Rachel, but that building, again, certainly the building we have now was built only the last few years, and the old familiar dome structure building goes back to the 1700s. Certainly wasn't built by Rachel. And the stone slab that's inside, when you go inside, you can't really see a stone slab. It's covered with this kind of a velvet cloth with plastic over it. It has various psukim about Rachel, the psukim from the Navi Yirmiyah, Kol Barama Nishma, that we lay in the Haftarah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It says, V'shavu vanim ligvulam. So those psukim are decorating the that velvet, but it's a stone, kind of a stone, round-shaped stone. That also is not from Yaakov Avinu.
Why did they have a special thing for
okay, maybe we'll get to it. Right. So it's a question of why Rachel's buried. The question is, why was Rachel buried there in a special? Maybe we'll come to it. She died unexpectedly on the road, and he buried her right there. That's a simple reading of the psukim. Now, as for what... Right, when she dies, right. So she's buried right there. In terms of the actual structure, so the Medrash and the Medrash Lekach Tov on our Pasuk, again, it's Bereishis Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chav, by Yaakov Matzev Al Kuro, so the Medrash says, Melamed Shekol Echad Mehabonim Somu Even Al Havonim Ahem Al Shem Achar Asar Shvatim. There were 11 Shvatim. I mean, Binyamin was obviously an infant, having just been born. So the other Shvatim, they all placed a stone there. Hu Matzev Eskuro Sarochel Ha'Even Sheyakov Hu Al Kulon. And the Yaakov put a bigger stone on top. That's how this Medrash describes the structure. Again, that's not what we see today exactly at all. But that's what the Medrash says happened. But he matzev is kuras Rachel. That is the matzev. It was the monument for Rachel. And then things over the years were built over it. The Medrash mentions here the word matzev comes from something which is over, lashon kofa or kufa. It's like a kippah, something that's over something. And that's the way it's ad hayom for it's there till today, not necessarily exactly in the same structure, but that's the Kever Rachel. So I'd like to just use the opportunity of discussing bringing up Rachel to discuss the question of putting a matzeva, putting up a monument, a tombstone, over anybody's kever, which certainly today is the standard practice. When somebody dies, so the family puts up a tombstone. They write various things on it about the person. And I'd like to discuss some of those dinim this evening. There's not really, to my knowledge anyway, that much in the Gemara about it. Perhaps surprising, but the Gemara doesn't really discuss too much about putting up tombstones. There's no sugya where the Gemara says that this is a chiyuv, or it's going to come in, as we see, somewhat indirectly. One sugya, the point of departure in terms of what we do have in the Gemara, is the following. Is a Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Omar Rav Shimon ben Pazi Remez L'Tzion Kvaros Min HaTorah Minayim." Where do we find a hint in the Torah for Tzion Kvaros? Means to make a marker by a kever. Where do we find a remez, or some kind of a hint in the Torah that you're supposed to put a marker by a kever? So Talmud Lomar a pasuk in Yechezkel V'ra'ah Etzem Adam Vana Es L'Tzion. You see a bone, so you should put some kind of a marker above it. Rashi explains, what's it for? So I will see the Rashi in a second. Really, the Rashi and the Mishnah, I should preface. The Mishnah, this Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Hei, is commenting on the Mishnah and Daf Beis. In the beginning of Maseches, Moed Katan discusses, as the name Moed Katan suggests, what's allowed and not allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Moed Katan means Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah mentions, among the things you're allowed to do is on Chol HaMoed, the members of the Bezdin, if necessary, is Mitzainin Es HaKvaros. Mitzainin es hakvaros. They can put markers by graves, so that people should know there's a grave there. So the Rashi is actually printed on Daf Hei in our sugi, but on the side they mention it. Really, the Rashi belongs in the Mishnah. Rashi says she'osin simonim al hakvaros besid. They put like some kind of a cement and they make some kind of a marker. Kedama b'meruba, as the Gemara says elsewhere. Why kedei shelo yelchu ochlei truma l'sham? So that the Kohanim who eat truma know that the Kohanim and Allah become tamei. So Kohanim have to know that there's a burial place over here. So they have to have some kind of a marker indicating that there's a kever here. It doesn't say anything about having to put the person's name or to describe his accomplishments or when he died. At this point, the Gemara seems to be saying there's got to be a marker there for the purpose of Kohanim being warned, keep away, you're not allowed to come here. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel, V'ra etzem odavon etzotzion. So it says, Omalei Ravina l'Rav Ashi, Hamekamed l'Esi Yechezkel Man. Okay, so, And until Yechezkel, there was no such din. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel. Now Yechezkel is a Navi who lived obviously long after the Torah was given. So what was the din before Yechezkel arrived on the scene? So the Gemara quotes, so you can ask that question. So there were also other Gemaras which seem to say that Nevi'im taught something. The Gemara brings up a particular case. Again, not the technicality is not relevant to us right now. And the Gemara asks there, the same. You can ask the same question there. Before Yechezkel came, what did you do? So the Gemara says, Ela Gemara Gemiri Law of Osi Yechezkel V'Asmicha Akra. It wasn't that Yechezkel invented the din. It was already a tradition. Rashi says, Gemara, Gemiri is Misinai. What we call Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is part of the oral tradition. It's part of Torah Sheba'al Peh since the days of Har Sinai. And then, in the days of Yechezkel Hanavi, so he put it down in print as he wrote it down. It wasn't that Yechezkel invented the din. It was a new takon or something. No, it was an old din. It was a din originated at Har Sinai, like all of our dinim. It wasn't incorporated into the corpus of written Torah, but it was written down later on in the days of Yechezkel Hanavi. So Hachanami Gemara Gemira Levas Yechezkel Vasmecha Akro. Same thing here. Then the Gemara goes on to quote a whole bunch of different sources. Numerous different Amoraim quote other sources from other places in the Torah, from Nevi'im, different psukim, which also seem to indicate all of which have to do with keeping Kohanim, warning Kohanim. So for example, one quotes the pasuk of a Tomei Tomei Yikra. Another pasuk quotes, by Mitzori, you have to warn the Kohanim that he's Tomei, so people shouldn't go near him. So it's the same thing over here. Others quote the pasuk, if they evil ositein michshol, you have to remove a potential stumbling block from somebody. Various other psukim, or Papa quotes Amar solu solu panu derech, clear the way. Okay, various other psukim, which are all remozim. Balayatosus writes, Tosu dira maschul rav Papa. Tosus writes, kol chad v'chad noki maida have masik adaita below plig. It's not a machlokas. All these different sources, it's not a machlokas. He says it's in this pasuk, he says in that, but they're not arguing. Each one found the remez in a different place, that's all. Okay, ela urcha de milsa, the chol chad masik adaita, madalo masik chavre adaita. Each one, what he thought, this is a proper remez, but it all boils down to the same thing. And again, Rashi on Lifnei Velosid Mishlo says, klomar asu dover ala tumah shalu anichshon leban no se truma v'taharas. Rashi throws something else in here also. It's not only Kohanim, but other people also who are involved who need to remain tahar. It's not only Kohanim have to remain tahar. Some people in general want to always be tahar, or they're involved in moving things which have to be tahar. That's how it says in the Teferes Yisrael on the Mishnayos. In the Mishnah Moikotin, again, it's in the Mishnayos, it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, Umitzayin, and it's Hakvoros. So Teferes Yisrael, it says, L'simlan shi'israchu hatahorim. Anybody who wants to maintain Torah should know to stay away from this place. That's how the Gemara says. Tosus explains again. Harbe the Tosus about Hamid Kamed Lesi Yecheskel. Tosus explains. Harbe dvarim dekimlan dasur menat Torah the loksi bekroa ela bahalocha ad osi Yecheskel v'hai hochinami. There are many things. Perhaps the more famous thing we spoke about in the Thursday night show a couple of weeks ago. Oneg Shabbos. We learned the din of Oneg Shabbos a pasuk in Yeshaya. So it means Yeshaya invented the concept? No, it was part of the oral tradition. It was part of Torah Shabbat. Loch HaMosh B'Sinai. Then Yeshaya committed it to writing. So Tosa says this is not an uncommon situation. Now, if we just had this Gemara, it would appear that the notion of setting up some kind of a marker at Tzion by a grave is Midoraisa. Because the Gemara's opening statement was, is Remez L'Tzion Kvaros Minatorah Minayin. It says Minatorah. It says Minatorah. However, right, it says Remez. So what is it? So very quickly, there's a Tosus in Bava Basra. Tosus in Bava Basra is on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amad Aleph. Dibam Asa Minayin. The Gemara has a similar question. Minayin Shematna Shchiv Marashi Min HaTorah. Specific detail of somebody who's on a deathbed. So there are different dinim that apply when a person carries out a business transaction on his deathbed. Certain leniency we don't require some of the details we normally require. So Tosus there says, Lav Min HaTorah, Dafka Komar. Doesn't mean literally Min HaTorah. Sometimes it says Min HaTorah, doesn't mean literally Min HaTorah. And he explains why it's not the case there. But rather it means it's an asmachta, some kind of a hint, a remez. And Tosus there, and Bava Basra, Kuf Mem Zayim and Aleph says, V'chihai gav ne'ikav berakam the moed cotton. Tosus there refers to our Gemara in moed cotton and says, Gabi tziyun shu midu abonon. For sure, the idea of putting up a marker is only midu abonon. Torah doesn't require it. And they're only providing, as we say, certain remozim. And he demonstrates that it's midu abonon. And Tosus says to take a look at a Gemara in Nida, where the Gemara Nidan, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph says, so the Gemara there is talking about the Kusim. The Kusim are people, you know, they brought certain non-Jews after the days of Sancheirev. Sancheirev was the general from Ashur, from Assyria, who conquered most of Eretz Yisrael about 150 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. He conquered the 10 northern tribes. And he exiled them all out. That's how those 10 so-called lost tribes, that's how they got lost. He took them out. You know, there were kids in there. I got lost. I went for a walk. And he took them out, and he moved them somewhere else. So he moved other people in from a place called Kusa. That was the standard practice in those days when a general conquered various different areas. So he transplanted the populations so it would be easier to control. He wouldn't be able to rebel so well. Explain always to the students, you know, you have in sports, you have the home field advantage. Well, you have the same thing in war. If you know where all the hiding places are, you can ambush. You look in American history that the American colonists were able to defeat the British, even though the British, Lahore, had a superior army. Because first of all, it's different when you're fighting for your own land than you're fighting for something thousands of miles away from home. And second of all, you know where all the places are. So they understood this back then, too. So they moved populations around them, easier to control. So the 10 northern tribes were taken away, and people from a place called Kusa came, and they were settled in the northern part of Arizona. They're known as the Kusim. Now, the Navi describes that these Kusim converted to Judaism. However, it was questionable whether this was a proper conversion or not, because apparently they were attacked by lions. And they came to the conclusion, they were pagans, came to the conclusion that the reason we're being attacked by lions ever since we arrived in this land is that the god of this land must not like our practice, therefore we better do what the god of this land does. But they weren't really interested in being so sincere. On the other hand, they were very medactic in other mitzvahs, so we have a number of places in the Gemara discussed. So the Kusim, were they valid converts, Geri Emes or not Geri Emes, all kinds of discussion, until years later they found that they still worshipped secretly some kind of a golden bird. Okay, the Gemara in Chulin. Anyway, the Gemara in Nida is talking about Kusim. Right, and right. Oh, okay. So anyway, the Gemara Nida there mentions about is discussing what we can believe the Kusim concerning what we can't believe them. Anyway, with that background, all we need to know is that one of the things it says you can believe the Kusim about is Ne'emonim al Tzion. Okay, Rashi says Letzayin al Tzion Letzayin V'Somkin Aleim V'Adin Taros Hecha Delo Tzino. We can accept the fact that they were careful about marking off their grave sites and putting up some kind of a tombstone on Matseva by their grave sites. So we can believe them, if they don't have a tzion, that in fact there's no grave, then a kohen can go there and so on. For that we can believe them. Now usually the rule is that they were careful about the Doraisas, but they didn't accept all the Drabbans. So the Gemara asks, how can you say we can believe the Kusim? The Afal Gav Dimidraban on who? What do you mean? Tzion by a kvar is only Drabbanan. The Gemara assumes a Dover Pos on Drabbanan. Right now, Kevin Dichsivi Mizar Zarbe Dichsivi Ra'etzem Adam Von Etzel Tzion. Gemara quotes the Pasuk Yecheskel. That was the first Pasuk quote in our Gemara in Lord Cotton. Since there's a remez in a Pasuk, no, they were careful about it. But I bring in this Gemara, as the Tosus does, to show you simply that that the Tosus quotes it, that the idea of Tosus Bava Basra, that the idea of Tzion is putting up some kind of a marker by a gravesite is midrabanan. There's a remez, there's a hint in the Torah. So that's the position that we have at this point, that there is a requirement. What's the requirement based on? Simply, it's a practical measure designed to let Kohanim and other people who want to remain Tahor know there's a dead body buried here. And Lechorof, to do that, you can have any kind of marker you want. Doesn't say, as I said, it has to be, you know, big fancy thing. Doesn't say anything about putting the person's name on or anything else. Just some kind of a marker letting people know. And the truth is, as we'll see, Lechora, if it's in a place that's marked off as a cemetery, where everybody knows, you know, I mean, have a whole big fence around the place and there's a sign, Beis HaKoros, so then if this person's buried in there, you don't have to put a marker up at all, because if the whole goal is to keep away, the Kohanim still know already. Yeah. The ordinary did. Right. We don't know where the burial was. It's an interesting point, but you could ask an even general, more general question. That is, what do you mean? Why didn't anybody quote the pasuk this morning? The pasuk by Rachel. In other words, Rachel, it says that Yaakov did put up a matzeva. It says it over there. I mean, you know, it's along the lines of your question. And yet, all those Gemara, the Gemara and Moed Katan, all those Rayas are a Muslim. Seems to be this would be a good remedy. So we may come back to that. Okay, but the Gemara, but they quote all the psukim. They quote all the psukim. No, you're looking for a remedy. We're not a smachta. No, Satosa says that each guy came up with a pasuk. It's a little surprising. Nobody mentioned it by Rachel. But we may come back to that. In terms of the halacha, the Rambam paskins in Parakhes of Hilchos Tumas Meis Halacha Tes, Parakhes of Hilchos Tumas Meis Halacha Tes, the Rambam writes, Kol hamotze kever o meis o dover shemetamim ba'olam en ha'meis chayav litzayin olav kidei shol yet ha'kol ol acherim. Rambam paskins, if you're aware of somebody being buried someplace, even if it's not a whole person, sometimes, you know, you found bones or whatever it may be, or anything else which can generate tumas mace, like an olmen mace and so on, chayav litzayin olav kadesh litakol alacherim. You have to make a mark there so that it won't mess up somebody else, won't be a takola for somebody else. Now, back in the Gemara in Moed Katan, and it's really very much along the lines of what we were saying, the Gemara there on Hey Amid Beis, the Gemara mentions, again, the Gemara is talking there about Chalamoid. So the Gemara says, V'ein mitzayin al havados. There is no need, and a Chalamoid probably wouldn't be allowed to, make a marker when something's a vada, when it's obvious that someone's buried, like we mentioned before. And Rashi says, Ein mitzayin al havados, hol deborer l'chule almod ispeitum havados, lo metalteli ba'osamokam taharis. If it's, like I said before, if it's marked off as a cemetery, so a particular burial plot inside that cemetery doesn't need to be marked off, because everybody knows that this is a place where you're not going to go if you're a Kohen, or you're not going to go if you're involved with Taharis. And the Rambam in that same halacha, halacha test of Perek Ches, Michos Tumas Meis, paskins accordingly, V'ein mitzayin al avados, harei you doing lakol, el al asfeikos. So if there's a suffake, if you're not sure if it's a place where it's possible, so that's when you have to that's when you have to make the mark. Now, and similarly, just to close the book on this part, in Hilchos Yontif, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yontif, Halacha Yud Aleph, we're talking about Chol HaMoed, so the Rambam mentions, Umitzayin and Ala Kvoros, they can make on Yontif, and Chol HaMoed, the Bezin can make marks on Kvoros, Shemichu Geshamim Es Tziyunon. If, let's say, it's Pesach time, and it was a rough winter, you know, a lot of rain and snow, and perhaps some of the markers were washed away, and it wasn't so clear, so then you're allowed to go, says the Rambam, Mitzayin ala kvoros, not allowed to, you have to, Mitzayin ala kvoros, Shemichu gesham esiyun, kidei sheyifreshu mehen ha-kohanim, because you want to make sure the Kohanim don't go. The reason you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, together with the other things he mentions there, Shekol elu tzorchei rabim heim. It's a need for the communities. On Chol HaMoed, most types of malacha are also, there are certain categories of malacha that are permissible. One of the things which are permissible is something which is tzorchei rabim. So the Rambam says, in keeping Kohanim and other people who want to remain tar away from a place where they could potentially become tummy, that's considered tzorchei rabim. So it's mutter on Chol HaMoed. So Ad Kan, we've seen that there is a requirement, perhaps midoraisa, it looks like Tosis, you know, the simple reading of the Gemara Nidus and Rabbanon, but there's a hint in the Torah to make markers, a monument or a matzeva of some sort, simply for the purpose of notifying Kohanim that they should stay away from that area, and the Kohanim and anybody else who wants to remain Torah should know not to go there. However, it seems clear that there is something else as well, because there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, a different Gemara in Bava Basra, on Daf Nun Chesam and Aleph, speaking about a certain Rabbi Benoa. Gemara says, Rabbi Benoa have a kometzayin ma'arta, Bava Basra Nun Chesam and Aleph. Rabbi Benoa took upon himself to go around places, and he would sort of watch, and whenever there were places where people were buried, he would make a mark there by any of the caves or any place where people were buried, he would make a marker to keep the Kohanim aware. Rabbi Benoa have a kometzayin ma'arta. The Gemara goes on to tell a story. He says, Kimotel ma'arta d'Avram, and he came to the, what we call the Maras HaMachpelah, right, in Hebron by Avram. So the Gemara goes on to the whole story. He met Eliezer, the Eved of Avram, and he had a conversation with Avram. Okay, so that's an Agadata, which we don't need to go into right now exactly what happened there. The Ben Yehoyada, Ben Ishchai said the whole thing was a dream. But okay, but the what's interesting for us is well, if this Rabbi Benoah was busy making markers, what was he doing by the Maras HaMachpelah? The Chora, the Maras HaMachpelah falls into the category of something everybody knows that they're buried there. So what do you have? If we just said the whole reason of making a marker is to keep the people away, but we said clearly from the Rambam that when it's a place that everybody knows is a cemetery, people are buried, you don't have to. So what do you have to go into the Maras HaMachpelah? No, not the building, but right. Okay, so it's possible. It wasn't so clear. That's possible. But, oh, so let's see. So the good. So let's see. So this comes up in a sugya in, of all places, in Nozir, and we have a commentary in Maseches Nozir called the Orach Mishor. It's printed in the back of the standard editions of the Masechta Nozir. So he mentions this question. He says, Tema, hello, al korchach muchbulav hachid avonah lo mitzayin mashu alibid adine tumah v'tahara. He says, apparently, Rabbi Benoah was not only making markers because of the din of tumah and tahara, okay, lefi, or lechud only. But rather, he must have had some other din. Why? Sharim Mavur, B'mod Kotan, Daf Heyam Adveiz, the Gemara showed you before, that Ein Mitzayin Al Havados. There was no need, apparently, the understanding of these Mefarshim is that the Maros HaChpelah, where they had that mosque on top of it, was apparently a well known area. And it really, according to what he's saying, you could say your way, I'm not denying what Shimi said, was, what do you mean? Maybe it wasn't so clear, and maybe that's why he went there. But the assumption is that somehow the Maros HaChpelah was always well known. It was always a place. I mean, even the Torah had that Kalev went and he davened there and so on. You know, when he came with the spies. But anyway, so he said, what do you have to go in for? It's Ein Mitzayin Al Havados. Apparently went for some other reason. And the same thing here too. He says, and he goes on to say, I'm skipping a little bit, he says, Mashma dat v'chihaygav, the only one is a doubt. Aval ha-ma'oris yedua hein l'kol. Okay, heichon hu-maroson. Everyone knew where it was. Bifrat maroson ha-chpelesh, nipru adem v'chavo, v'avosenu, yodua hu-mekoman. No Kohanim went there. No one carried the things which had to remain Torah. No one who wanted to remain Torah went there anyway. Why did Rabbi Benoah have to make this marker there, right? So, evidently, that wasn't his only reason for doing it. Yeah, the other thing, he doesn't say what the reason was. In other words, he said, what was the reason? So, you have to figure out that perhaps there is evidently something else as well. And with this, we come to the following. There is a Mishnah in Masechah Shkolim, in the second parak of Masechah Shkolim, Halacha Hey, Masechah Shkolim is the one Yerushalmi Masechta that's in the Bavli cycle as well. So it's in the Daf Yomi cycle. So people who are in the Daf Yomi may recall. Oh, it doesn't count because the art school doesn't have it, right? A cousin of my wife's wrote a translation into English, though. Did I use it? Anyway, so. Right, the Mishnah. This part, right? But the truth of the matter is, just mention quickly that the pagination. The pagination is different. In other words, it appears in the regular Yerushalmi than a Bavli, but the Yerushalmi has the Pnei Moshe on the page and the Bavli doesn't, so the pagination is different. So in the Bavli, in the regular Bavli, it's Dav Zayin Amid Aleph in Masechah Shkolim. So the Mishnah there discusses the following. It says, what if money was collected for something, and you know, I can't imagine this happened today, but they had extra, right? They had a fundraising drive, and lo and behold, they raised extra money. Okay, so one of the things it mentions, for example, we spoke about a few weeks ago, Pidyon Shvuyim. So let that add a campaign to raise money for Pidyon Shvuyim. And the kidnapper said, no, that's enough. And we'll take that. And it was extra money, whatever. They raised more than they needed. Well, so the Gemara, the Mishnah discussed it. Then it says as follows. Mosar, again, it's Perek Beis Mishnah Hei, or in the Yushalmi Perek Beis Mishnah Halacha Hei, Dav Zayinam and Aleph. It says, Mosar HaMesim LeMesim. Okay? Something which is Mosar HaMesim, which was means, as the Mefarshim explained, we'll see in a second, it was collected by the Chevra Kadisha for needs relating to the cemetery and so on. Mosa HaMesim, LeMesim, means it's put away for other purposes. Mosa HaMesim, LeMesim. If it was collected, if money was collected for the Chevra Kadisha, so even though they may have collected it for this particular person's burial, but they'll use it for the next guy, right? LeMesim. However, Mosa HaMes, but what if they collected for a particular mace? If they collected for a particular person, then what happens now? So it says Liyorshim, his inheritors, his Yorshim, get that money. That's one opinion of the Tanakhama. Remeir Omer Moser HaMeis Yehi Munach Ad Sheyavo Elio. No, you can't give it to the Yorshim, but they can't spend it for somebody else either. It was people gave it. Could be where the guy was still alive. They were collecting it. He was dying or whatever it was. He had some kind of a zuchus in it. So you can't give it to the Yorshim. On the other hand, you can't spend it for somebody else either. So it's put away, not used. And Rav Nosson Omer, Rav Nosson says, it's still the Mishnah, Mosar Hameis Bonin Lo Nefesh Al Kivro. You do with the extra money, you build a nefesh on his grave. Okay, let's see what that means. So the Korban Eido is the commentary in Yerushalmi, says as follows, Mosar Hameisim, Im Gobu Mosar Tzorch Kvurus Meistam, HaMosar Kvurus Meisim Acherim. If they collected money for the Chevra Kadisha in general, you know, for burial needs of people, so then if they use it up for this guy to have extra, so they'll put it away for the next guy. Ava LeMeizeh, but if they collected it for a particular mace, then HaMosar Yorshav, Dachuli Ochel HaMeizilusei Legabe Yorshav. The guy will be mocha, whatever covered it will have. He'd rather, what are you going to spend the money? This is the Tanakama. You're going to spend the money to put up a matzeva, put up a nefesh. Forget it. I'd rather my kids have the money. They need the money, so they'll give it to them. He's mocha, is covered. That's the first opinion. Second opinion is, no, you heimunachat shavaleh, you got to put it away. Misapkele imocha lamezulus legaba yor shavaleh. Not so poshut. Guy doesn't want to be buried, without a mark or anything like that. So, not so poshut. So, we're not sure. So, it's a suffix. You can't do anything with the money. And the third opinion is, Bonu nefesh al kibro pshita le Rab Nosson de lo mochil. Hilchach bonu lo matzeva al kibro me osa mosa shekvar zocha bo hameis. It's for his needs, and you put it up in a you put up a matzeva for him with that extra money. That's what it says in the Rivavon. Again, one of the other commentaries in the page, it says, Yasen nefesh al kibro nefesh pirush matzeva al kibro lezechaplan. What is a nefesh? A nefesh is a matzeva. Now what we have in this Gemara now is a new point. Until now, we saw that the purpose of a matzeva, of a tzion by a kever, a marker by a kever, is simply a practical matter to keep the kohanim away, that they'll know that somebody's buried here. But now, from this Mishnah in Shkolim, it appears that there's a kovod issue, because the whole discussion of what to do with the extra money, well, will the mace be mochel the kovod, will he not be mochel? What kovod? Who kovod? Evidently, there's some kind of notion of kovod that you put up matzeva on a person's kever, and presumably it'll say something about him and so on. That's a kovod for the mace. So this is already now, we're introducing a new thing. Maybe that's what Rabbi Benoah was doing. I mean, I'm just bringing this over to that Orach Mishal we saw before in Nazir, and the Sugyan in Bava Basra Nunches, where Rabbi Benoah went around, even by the Marasan Pela, for covered purpose, want to put up something nice, something attractive that people will see. So that's a covered for the person. So now we've been introduced to this concept of a nefesh, that there's an inyan of some form of there's an inyan of some form of covered. That's an interesting question. It's another word we're going to see in a second. We'll see. We will see that. Okay, we will see about that. I just want to mention, though, that the Gemara there goes on. The Gemara there in Shkolim, in the Gemara part, before I read the Mishnah, in the Gemara part, it makes the following statement. Tani, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ein osin nefashos l'tzadikim. You don't have to build such a nefesh, such a matzeva for a tzadik. Why? The famous statement, Divrehem hein zichronon. Their words, the Torah they left behind, that's the best memorial for them. They don't need a thing with it that says what a guy was and so on and so forth. His people will say over his Torah, so that's the biggest memorial. That's how the Pnei Moshe. Now in the Yerushalmi, it's Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph in the pagination of Yerushalmi, it says Divrayin. Shemanichim ba'olam mashechidshu b'divrei Torah hein zichronon. That they're going to leave behind in the world Divrei Torah, people are going to say it over. I heard it from Rav so-and-so. So that's a bigger cover than what's going to be written on the cemetery. But again, it all boils down, and according to what we're saying, it all boils down to this notion of kavod. That's the idea. Now, okay. So what's the halacha? So the Rambam writes the following in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Ovel, Halacha Dalet. The Rambam says various different things. The Hilchos Ovel begins. The Hilchos Ovel Perek Dalet begins Minig Yisrael b'meisim v'kvura kachu. Here's all the minhagim with burial and all this. He goes through the different things that are done. So Halacha Dalet, he says you have to dig a place and so on. But then he mentions umitzainin es kol beis hakvaros. You have to put a marker around the beis hakvaros so people should know that there's a cemetery here. Ubonin nefesh al hakever. The Rambam writes you build this nefesh, this matzeva on the kever. But the tzaddikim ain't bonahem nefesh al kibro. Same shetivreihem heim zichronam. But for tzaddikim, passages like that Gemara, for a tzaddik you don't have to do it because their words are the best memorializing, the best covered, for them. That's the Rambam. Now, one of the questions which jumps out is if this is true that tzaddikim, don't need it. So then, what's with this morning said with Rachel? Right, the whole way we started was it says that Yaakov put up matzeva for Rachel. So isn't it the case that Rachel would qualify as a tzaddikus? Did he write it? Po nikbar ha'isha hatznua. Rachel, what exactly did they write? Right, but doesn't she qualify as a tzaddikus? Say it again. Yeah. That's what it appears in that Gemara. For a tzaddik, it'll be an insult. A tzaddik, it'll be an insult. I think. I mean, for everybody else. Okay, good. So let's see. We'll see how people learn the other way. Yeah. Okay, that's also an interesting point. So let's see the Medrash. The Medrash says on our Sedrin in Vayisha, right? Well, let's see. Let's just see. The Parsha. The Med, yeah. Okay, only. Correct. It was just to keep the Kohanim. Okay, so But now we're saying like this. Good. So it could well be. We've come up with two reasons so far why to put up matzeva. One is a practical concern for kohanim and other people who want to be tahor, and with truma and so on. The other thing is for kavod. So maybe he only did it for that reason. Let's see. The medrash says as follows. There's a medrash in Brachos Rabba and our sedra in Mishmayusha. Parsha Pei Bei Simin Yud. Vayatzev Yaakov matzeva tnan hosam mosar amesim. Quotes this machlokas in the Mishnah and Shkolim. You know what you do with the extra money and so on and so forth. Then it mentions. Tani Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ain osin nefashos to tzadikim. That's the Gemara in Shkolim we mentioned. It's really from Tosefta. Divrayim hein zichonim. Lamadnu shenikru Yisrael al shem Rachel. The whole Klal Yisrael was sort of attached or ascribed to being descendants of Rachel. Why? Shenemar habein Yakir li Ephraim. Ephraim was Rachel's grandson, right? The Yosef's son. So bad to pause. Habein Yakir li Ephraim wasn't only referring to Ephraim, but all of Klal Yisrael. So what's going on here is the following. The Yafei Tohar, which is a commentary on the Medrash, says like this. Right? That's the question. And the answer is, says Yafeita, who had more Maisim Tovim? I mean, she concerned the sensitivity of her sister. She didn't want to embarrass Leah, so she gave her the signal that the Yaakov had set up with her. And the truth of the matter is, interesting. As a side point, I'm not going to go into it now in detail, but the interesting thing is that, according to the Ramban, the reason Rachel had to die when it came to Eretz Yisrael is because the Avos observed all the Torah before it was given, but only in Eretz Yisrael. So, and you're not to marry two sisters, according to the Torah. So in the days of Yaakov, and when he was living in Padan Aram, by Lavan was allowed, one of them had to die, which is why, in last week's Sedrin by Yetzeh, they asked, when Yaakov had the vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time to leave Lavan's house and go back, so he calls his wives out and says, I'd like to go back. What do you mean? Should have just told him. I had a vision of what it is and what you think. I had Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to go back. Shuv al Eretz Malat Techa. So, and then it says, Vatan Rachel v'Leah. And Rachel answered before Leah. So I saw one of the commentaries says, and I forgot where I saw this. Or maybe I heard it, I don't remember. But he says, because they knew, Rachel knew, that someone's going to die. That one's not going to survive. So it had to be with their permission. And Vatan Rachel, she said, Kodesh Baruch Hu still to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And whatever happens, happens. That's why Rachel answered first, because she knew she married him second, so she's probably going to be the one. So that's anyway. So getting back to the faith, that's something to think about in greater detail some other time. But it says, "Mi lanu gadu ma'isim yosam Rachel." Umishana, the answer is, "Lamadu shenikra Yisrael Hashem Rachel." Umishum quote shen Yisrael uyelatzid lo matzeva. No, her matzeva was for the quote of Kal Yisrael, not for her. That's one answer. But then he says, "Va'otir is mishum shahagaluyos asidos lavor sham." The Medrash goes on to say, the famous Medrash on the Psukim again, in the Novi Yirmiyo that we lay on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that the Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes, in Chumash, that the Medrash is that when the Gal Yisrael, Kal Yisrael goes into Golas, it will be Rochel Mavakal Baneo. There's a Medrash in the beginning of Echo like that, the Psicht of Echo, that the Tzvotim will be going into Golas, and Rochel will cry, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ignore the petitions. We make references in the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av, right? He'll ignore Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, Moshe, they all come forward and say, can't you redeem my people and so on, give him a break? But finally, Rachel will come, Rachel Mavaka Albon, our Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Mini Kalet Meveri, hold back your eyes from tears, and the Veshovavanam Ligvulam, and then eventually the children will return. So it's Ha'etziv Amatseva Kadesha Yedu Ha'ovram Esmakam Kvurasa, and therefore, people should know this is where they should daven. So now we're introduced to a third reason for a matzeva, that people should go there to daven. That's what the Faith Torah is saying. That's why he put up. Maybe he didn't need it for the marking purposes, or maybe he did. Maybe he didn't need it for the covet, for the person, because there's another issue here. And the same idea, the others have discussed it as well. The same kasha, Shlomo Kluger has a whole arichas about it in the Sheol Tshuvas Tuv Tam Vadas. It's in the Mahadur Tlisa, the third volume, Chelik Beis, Hilchos Avelos, Simon Reis Dayan, he says, "Hu tamua, it's strange, why did he have to do it? Lama Solo Yaakov Matzeva," the same question, and what's this whole Medrash going about? Anyway, he goes through the whole thing, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but he says, "Aval kiven, kiven the hates of Yaakov Matzeva, kibra, hare enos nevashon tzadikim, bal korcha shenitpo bederech, kidei kishe yelchu begolos, yelchu al kibra." They'll on the way out to Golos, they'll daven by the kever of Rachel, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then he says, "Why dafke Rachel?" Okay, so it's more or less the same type of approach. In fact, depending on where Kever Rachel actually is, we said at the beginning, I don't know if you mentioned, there's actually different opinions whether our Kever Rachel today is exactly right or not. But let's assume that they went in that route. I'll just mention quickly, there's one other thing, and I'll take questions just on this. The Torah Tamima says the same thing also in our parasha. Torah Tamima is in Os Tes Zion, Again, Bereishis Perek Lamed Hayos Tezayin. He says, Roy Lahab Parsha, and he's going to answer our question also, the other question we asked before. How come when the Gemara asks, where is there a hint to a Matzev in the Torah that no one mentions this story with Rachel? So he says, Temo Shalo Hebiu Mikan Shemefur Shehetzi Matzeva, right? And what's going on? So he mentions that the Gemara wanted it not only for a source of putting up a matzeva by a full person who died, but even if you find a bone or whatever else, you also have to make a matzeva. So that's why he didn't mention the case by Rachel, that pasuk, because it was a full person buried. The pasuk in Yechezkel mentioned etzem. That's one answer he gives. But then the Torah Tzimimu goes on, and he quotes the Yerushalmi mentioned. He said, we don't need all this. Rather, im osin hatzion letachshi sheyizku shem atzadik gduloso bemes ein tzarich lezeh. If the purpose of putting out the matzeva is for the memory of for the greatness of the tzadik, right, tzadik doesn't need it. Yan shedivrei maseh maskirim shmam. Masha eno kenim mechavnim bozel leman hachayim. If it's for the sake of others, living people, sheyedu doros of achrov mokom menuchas gufo sheyuchul ispalol olav leis mitzo olavakish mechila mimenu chedome. Then that's a different thing. Like we find, he gives different examples in the Gemara of people who went and davened by a kever. So therefore, if it's for the surviving people, so then then is another. There's this other need as well.
So
yeah. No.
Put it up by
right, so we'll have to see. We'll see in a second. Yeah.
And something I'm just not clear about. The pasuk says Yaakov built a matzeva.
Right.
When he had his dream by
Bezal, a different kind of matzeva. Right.
So
a different kind of matzeva.
For himself, so he would remember where he slept. Maybe this was just for himself too.
Okay, it's possible. Okay. No, but that's not bad. That would tie in with. Yeah, okay, could be.
Right.
Definitely could be. Could be that he did it for himself. Good.
Okay.
I'll just mention also. Again, along these same lines, the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva, and Tshuva's Ksav Sofer, Chelek Yeredeya, Simen Kuf Ayin Ches. He's talking here about a whole issue where they're putting up matzeva. So he mentioned at the end of this tshuva, he says, again, the tshuva is about they collected money, a whole sichsuch, but at the end he writes, L'sayim betov atziga no po mashamar to biyom shenigmar botei nefesh al kivris Moshe Rabbeinu Abba Maor HaGolah Zatzal. Ksav Sofer was the son of the Chasam Sofer. So he prints in the end of this tshuva what he darshan on the occasion of the building of the matzeva, the completion of matzeva, the grave of his father, the Rav Moshe, Chasam Sofer, his name is Rav Moshe Sofer. So he writes, by my father. He said, "Who matzeva is kuros adam mazeh?" And he said, "I'm going to say a little bit what I said at the time of this drasha." So he says, "Hikshesi lishol." I asked the same question. Eich osim ato nefesh tzadikim umarbin behotzos avne yoko. We spend money and we get beautiful stones and so on and so forth. And we osin obayis. Then we build the whole thing. What do you mean? Aharei zecher tzadik levorach v'divreim zichonim. I'm sorry. I saw him. You have this. What do you need a kever for? Okay. So v'amartel yashiv in hogan shel yisrael. The meaning is based on the fact you have the following. There really, he says two things. He says that there ki toeles bebinyan siyun al kever hu lishnei dvarim for two purposes. One, so yiskach v'yabed zichro. People shouldn't just forget that this person ever once lived. No one should forget about the person, right? And that's good for the nefesh of the person and so on. That may be why it's called nefesh, because it's called a nefesh because it's for the comfort of the person's nefesh to know he's not going to be forgotten. No one wants to be forgotten, right? You die and then it's like you never existed. So it's a nefesh. The nefesh finds comfort in the fact that there's a matzeva that has his or her name on it and so on. That's why it may be called a nefesh. Right? He mentions that the point. And then he says, but also, the second thing is Odei Shos L'Chaim Ki Mispalim Al Kivrei Tzadikim Yodim Mokum Kuros Atzadik and so on. So he mentions that as well. Perhaps the clearest presentation of these ideas is found in the Sefer Gesher HaChaim. The Gesher HaChaim is a classic Sefer. Chilvach Tukachinsky, a Rav in Yerushalayim, died around 1960, I think. And the Gesher HaChaim is a classic work that people study for Hilchos Avelos. So in Chelek Aleph, in Perek Chof Ches, he talks about putting up matzeva, and he says as follows: Miyamos olam nohog lahatziv matzeva lahakin sin lanefesh. And he writes as follows: Ushloshes shemus yeshlo. We find that there are three names that, in our literature, are describing a matzeva: matzeva, sion, and nefesh. But Torah matzino shem matzeva. The quotes a pasuk in our sedra: Yaakov put a matzeva. Benevim shem sion. He quotes another pasuk, the pasuk in Yechezkel that we mentioned before in the Gemara Mordechai and Davei, right? Or etzem odom ono tzion. And in Chazal's language, we also find the Mishnah of a Gemara, Shem Nefesh, Bonim Nefesh al Kibra, like as we saw before in Shkolin, right? Why is it? So he says, because, Ki Yesh B'Hakamas HaMatzeva Shlosha Tamim, because there are three different purposes in a Matzeva. One, it's called a Tzion, Aleph, Letzayin, Makom HaTumah. the purpose we started with, that it's for the purpose of keeping Kohanim away. A tzion is a marker, right? The mark's off where the people know to stay away from Tumah. Two is Ladas Mokom Hakever Kedei Levakor Lispalo. That's Matseva. The people should see. Like I mentioned before, he'll see a monument. He'll know this is the place. So it's not just for him. It's other people too. They'll know here's a place where someone lived. Or someone was alive once. That's where they're buried. Ladas Mokom Hakever Kedei Levakor Lispalo. People can come daven there and visit their kever. And Gimel Kavod Lenefesh Hamarachefeshom. Now that is a little bit, he goes on to explain each one. So this is a little bit Alpi Kabbalah, quotes from the Zohar, that somehow the nefesh of the person hovers about where he's buried. However we exactly understand that. But somehow, I mean, you know, there's a slab there that the nefesh can be comfortable. I don't exactly know what it's driving at, but it's a concept from Kabbalah, that it's good for the nefesh, right? That he mentions, Shein nefesh al shein ha-nefesh ha-marachefes al-mokom hanuchas ha-gviya, where the body, the goof, the body is buried, so the nefesh hovers around there. Gam acharei hi part in the shamim meno. Even after the soul departed from the body, but the soul sort of hangs around in that area, so that's why it's called the nefesh. And again, tzion is mokom ha-kever, and as we say, matzeva is that people should see it. So therefore, that's the Gesher HaChaim. It's a very clear presentation. He adds, u'mitzad din torachi of tzion urak mishum tumah. The only thing, and I don't think it means literally d'oraisa, but he means the only thing that has a real d'oraisa element to it is tumah. I mean, tumah din d'oraisa. So that's the only Torah thing, and therefore v'sagi b'simona ba'alma kigon b'shvicha sid soviv ola karka kever oba astir sura kever ba'alma. For that, to keep Kohanim away, you just a little slab of cement or put a mound up there, something that would indicate that you don't need any kind of fancy thing. And also, as we mentioned before, v'ma kever mukaf kvarim. If the place is full of kvarim and everyone knows the cemetery, so efshar shalosh shayach kalchiv zeh, you don't need it at all. In fact, we'll see later, Moshe Feinstein writes, many places in Europe and others write this also. Not everybody had, people didn't have matzevas. It wasn't as de rigueur as it was today. So that's what the, that's how the Gesher HaChaim writes. And similarly, quickly now, the Pardes Yosef says, on our Sedra, the Pardes Yosef is, again, in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chav, he mentions a little different, but similar, Sheesh Gimel Tamim, there are three things, Matz Echad Mishum Osei Taharo Shalit Mubakever, Bei Sheesh Nachas Ruach Lemeis, Sheesh Rishumo Nikar Al Shem Zecher Tzadak Librocha, Lahazkir Tamid Osei Librocha. It's again, it's some kind of a comfort for the Neshama to have this over there. And the other thing, and I only mentioned that tzaddikim don't really need that because they have their words. And the third thing, as we mentioned, that people should know, lishtateach al kibrei avos, and so to be able to daven there. And he says, v'zeh nirali pshat ha-posuk, ki matzeves kvuros rochel ad hayom. Kedei shelo tikvu, we ask the question, matzeva al kibrei lomali, harei eino sinifoshel tzaddikim, our question before, why did rochel nishin tzaddikis, al kain misayin she'ein zel atovas rochel. She didn't need it. It's not for her benefit. Ella kitam shlishi letovas bin bonel sheishtatchu al kibra v'zeh she'omar he matzeves kuras rochel. It's a matzeva on kever rochel. The low matzeves rochel. It's not for her. It's to know where the kever is that people should come daven there. Fine. And I'll just add also. He adds an interesting thing. He says the Gemara in Horia says that a person who reads the ksav. And reads the writing on a tombstone, so it's bad for your memory. It's one of the Gemara has a list of different things. So the Gemara mentions in Horia stuff, Yud Gimel Akori Ksav Shabai Keber Kosher Lizikaram. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says it's only when the Ksav protrudes, it's, you know, how would we describe it? Bolate, in other words, it protrudes. You carved it out, not the way we do it today, where it's carved in, so to speak. So it doesn't apply. But what's the idea? So he says that's a simple reading of the Gemara. But he says, and the Pardes Yosef Al Derech HaDrush says no. What it means is, if all that's left of a person is what they wrote on the slab, so kashal zikaron, not that it's bad for your memory, what kind of zikaron is it for that person? That's all. The only reason we know anything about that person is because they have a few lines written. You know, it's Rachmanis. That's what he said to me. That's the Derech HaDrush. All right, now, in the more modern times, Moshe Feinstein has a lengthy tshuva on this subject. It appears in the last volume of the Igros Moshe. It's Yordei Chelek Dalad Simon Nun Zayin. Has a lot of well, this is the last one that appeared, including this appeared posthumously. What Jack is alluding to is that there are those who aren't machshiv this particular volume so much because it was written after Moshe died, and he didn't get to edit it himself, and who knows if everything is exactly accurate. So in some places I don't like that, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this particular article appeared. This tshuva appeared. It doesn't say it here, but I once came across this. that or something at least very similar appeared in Am HaTorah, which is the Agudas Yisrael's journal, and it was proven still alive. So I think this is authentic. Okay. Anyway, Rav Moshe has it's a tshuva about against Simon Nun Zayin in Yordei Chelek. What did I say? Yordei Chelek Dalet. Yeah. Simon Nun Zayin. So he says, first he begins by saying the mokor of Matzevis in the story with Rachel and so on, and then he wonders with the same question, why did he have to do it? So he says a different thing. He says, obviously this was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was done by Yaakov at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direction, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Rachel should die dafke right there, so that maybe when the Jews go into Golos or whatever else, it was all done al piyah dibur. So don't ask questions. I ain't osin afoshes letzadikim. No kasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed. That's a most remotious point. Well, that's the case. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't really have a link to this week's sedra because we're trying to talk about the matzeva in general, and the matzeva that was an exceptional case. But okay, that's how Rav Moshe says it. Now he goes on in the tshuva to mention the following in Os Dalet. That was in Os Aleph. He says, "V'nimtza lefi zeh she'ein lanu makor me'akrosh ikinin kavod lahameis ba'kamas hametzeva ala kever." And we don't really have such a mucker in the pasuk for kavod. You can't bring a raya from, like I said before, you can't bring a raya from Yaakov, because that was al piyah dibur. It was a special circle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, so we can't, you know, that there's no raya from the psukim. And then he goes, he quotes that Mishnah in Shkolim. Again, I'll have to be mekatzel a little bit, but he says the Rambam, at least, understands that sheet in Rav Nosson, who says what? Again, Rav Nosson was in the Mishnah in Shkolim, who said when they have extra money, they'll use the extra money for a monument, for a matzeva. So he says the Rambam understands, because the Rambam paskins that way, the Rambam understands that. And of course, if it's not an ani, that's by an ani when they had to collect money from the community for his burial. So then he mentions, Moshe mentions that putting up a matzeva is not as much of a need for the mace as is tachrichin, you know, the special shrouds that you buried and various other things. For that, you have to collect from the community. A matzeva, you don't have to collect from the community. Again, a marker you'll have to put up, that's for sure, for tumah purposes, unless, as we said before, it's in a cemetery and it's not necessary. As far as, in other words, since a matzeva is of secondary importance in terms of what's done for a mace, so when you're collecting money from the community and the guy's not paying for it himself, so then you only have to put up a matzeva if there's extra money, if there's enough money. But the Rambam understands that if it's not an ani, shalakach poshru bor lamam de l'stam in shushayin amaniyim mechuyovin lahakim matzeva kavod. You have to put it up. Just there, you have extra because you were collecting from the community. But the Rambam writes, ubetur v'shulchan aruch lehusku b'chiv akura sheyasu matzeva. The Moshe says, guess what? It doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, they don't really mention this. Not in terms of putting a matzeva for covered. The Rambam does. We saw the Rambam. But the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch don't mention. Now, in truth, I have to be honest about it. The truth is that there is a little bit of a reference to it in the Shulchan Aruch as well, but not necessarily for covered purposes. Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Shin Mem Ches, Siv Beis, let's say a guy says, "Ha'omer al tipru b'nechos ein shomel elamotzi miyarshav kol tzorche kuvraso bal korcho." If you have, the guy didn't want to be buried there, you have to bury him anyway and take money from the yarshim. V'chein, you have to do from his estate with kol masher regilin lasos libnei mishpachto. You do everything which is normal in his community or his family that's done for a maze. V'afilu ha'evan shenostin ala kever. Even the evan, even the stone. So some kind of stone the Shulchan Aruch does mention. I should mention as well that that's in Yoredeya, Simen Shin Mem Ches, in Evan HaEzer, Simen Pei Tes Sif Aleph, it mentions, Meso Isha B'chai HaBal, Chayav L'Kovro, that if a man's wife dies, so part of his obligation is to pay for the funeral needs and so on, and Uvichlal Zeh HaEvan Shenosim Al HaKever, it includes as well, as I said, the same thing, the stone that's put over the kever. So the truth is, it is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch a little bit, but not just to some kind of a stone, some kind of a slab, and I guess you could say it's for the Kohanim purposes, for markers. Yeah. Rock on top.
Yeah,
a little bit, a little bit. Yeah, Minhagim, a little bit. I don't know if I'll get to that now. I just want to mention a couple of interesting tshuvas. Rav Moshe, in that same tshuva, quotes a tshuva from the Radvaz. It's Chelek Dalad Simen Reish Mem Gimel. Tshuva Elof Shin Yudal altogether. He asked the following question. It comes like this. Sheila Shaltim Men Al Ruvain Shemes, the man Ruvain died. Okay, V'gavu L'tzorcho V'hosir. And they collected money and they had it left over. V'yesh Olav Ksubas Isho Balcho V'yoresh. I want the extra. We'll leave it by the Yorish. I want it. Why? The Gabbai, the Chevra Kadisha says, Ani tzorach adayin lasos lo matzeva al kuroso. I need the money, the extra money, to put up matzeva. That's the din in the Gemara, right? V'chulam omrim, and the other, it's a yorshim, and the woman says, what do you mean? Tuk chazi kama kvaros ika b'lo matzevas. You go into the lots of people know matzevas, and my father didn't even either. I want the money, right? The woman says that, I mean, you know, nice you want to put up matzevah, but there's lots of people buried out matzevas. Apparently that was the practice. Not everybody had a matzevah, so the wife said, I'd rather have the money myself. So who's right? So says the Radvaz, Hayorej zocher b'mosa. The children get it. The inheritors get it. Because because that's the din. And but the Radvaz does mention, we call Mokom Modeh, then had been a gabbai. But if it can be demonstrated that in fact the custom in the community and the family is that everybody does have a matzeva, so then we do have to put up matzeva. We don't give the money to the yorshim. That's what Moshe writes in that same shul before in Oz Hey. I'm sorry, in Oz Dalad, he says, and that's certainly the case today. Today everybody has a matzeva. So today you'd have to put it up because then it'd be Zion to the person. He's the only one not to. There was a whole svar of the Radvaz was that there, in fact, many people don't have matzevas by their grave. So then you could say, well, I don't want my father. I need the money myself. I'm not putting up matzeva. But if everybody else has, and my father's not going to have, so that's already bizarre. That you can't do. And with this, and therefore, it almost becomes now like an absolute chiyuv to put up matzeva. Just a couple of other points. The Rav Moshe goes on in Sifhei. He says, look, the fact of the matter is that nowadays, taka, they do for tzaddikim too. I mean, other rabbis, by all the chassidish rebbes and the Rosh Hashivas, they have a fancy matzevas. In fact, Moshe writes, he named the Nisenu converts of Brist America, Noagim Kol Yisrael, the Nisenu Hakim matzeva. Everybody puts up matzeva. It's dirigu. I mean, it's, you know, everyone does it. And Uchfish Yodula, as far as I know, Moshe writes, Gamber Eretz Yisrael Noagim came. Not only here in America, Eretz Yisrael too. Afshib Medino Shahinu Garim Shom Beruslan, when I lived in Russia, there are many people, many places who were proud to Arim Haktanos, especially in small villages or shtetlach. They weren't makpid, they didn't have matzevas all the time. There were many kvaros that didn't have a matzeva, like the guy Tanit and Radvaz. But now we do. And he mentions, and in our Moshe, when he read the Gemara, he read everything. So he mentions that, by the way, he does discuss this just for completion's sake. He discusses another tshuva as well in the Chelek, in Yoredei Chelek Gimel, in Simon Kuf Nun Dalad, Oz Gimel, he mentions as well. We won't read that inside that. But he points out the following. He says, if you look in a Gemara, understand Gemara Brachas. So most of the time when we turn to the back and we read the Rif, so you know, you skip all that introductory stuff. However, in the back of the regular Gemaras and Brachas, you have Rav Moshe Ibn Ezra Chotzav Amatzevas Kivro Shabin Yitzhak Alfasi. They have a whole nusach that they put on the grave of the Rif. A very flowery and descriptive about the godless of the Rif. They etch this into the Rif. So the Rav Moshe writes, I mean, the Rif. I mean, you know, the Rif. Gedolei Amuda Ha'ora. So don't tell me Ein Nefashi. It's not just an invention about the Chassidim or something in more recent times. Going back to the Rif, you see that it's printed in the Gemara. Every edition of Gemara Brachas that prints the Rif, the first page of the Rif, right before that has this nusach that was on the cover of the Rif. So apparently the Rif is, you know, died in the year 1000. You know, so it's a long time ago. So Rav Moshe says, again, basically the same basic svara. He says that now, why did people do it? You didn't have to. But, lochen merov chavivas, umerov tsar, kosu ala matzeva, rikshoseyam b'shvach kadluso, mashenechso la'olam b'tiroso, we feel bad that this person is no longer here, so it's done. And Rav Moshe says, basically, once it's done, so again, now, it will be a bizarre for somebody not to do it. And the Chidah mentions this point, again, time doesn't permit, but the Nachal Kedumim, the Chidah and the Nachal Kedumim, and our Sedra, it says, by the Yatzev Yaakov Matseva, Ein Ocean Ocean Nefoshos Tzadikim, so he mentions many other people. He mentions Matsevos Moron, that's the Yosef Karo, right? V'Hari, V'Haramaka, Moshe Kodavero, Umuram, Bala Mapor, that's Moshe Isolis, the Ramor, right? V'Domeim, they all have it, right? V'Chein, B'Kvarot HaTanoim, V'Amoroim, right? You have to go through the Galil. Those have been until you see all the time. They pull over the side. Here's the kever of this guy. Here's the kever of that guy. All over the place. We always have Unavim, Yeshiyunim, and so on and so forth. So he says, to look in some other svarim that he wrote, basically it means that Gemara ain't os in the Fosha Tzadikim. He says that in his commentary on the Sefer Hasidim, os Tavshin Lamed Ches. He mentions that in the Tshuva, Chaim Shaw, Chelek Aleph, Simenayin Aleph, Osvav, he mentions what that Gemara means, ain't os in the Fosha Tzadikim. It means you don't have to make such a big, elaborate thing. Kibi Bakovic, you know what it means? Ain't osin the fossil things up this. They got fancy, you know, sometimes the old joke, the guy goes to the cemetery, sees this enormous thing, but boy, that's what I call living. Right? You see a fancy thing over that you don't have to do, right? That you don't do, but something we do, and that's what Moshe writes as well. Along the same lines, I'll just mention quickly, and Moshe was asked a question by somebody, again, it's his name Chuba, this is Os Yud, and that same Chuba Nun Zayin. Ramosha was there, somebody had a chap, you know, a father died. So the guy came to Moshe, he said, instead of building a matzeva and spending all that money, he'll donate the money to yeshiva, and he'll put a plaque by the base medrash, or by the hallway, or something like that. So isn't that a better thing? So Moshe says, you'd expect him to say, oh, what a great idea, but he doesn't. He said, no, you have to, because it'll be bizarre. Because people, when they come to the cemetery and they'll see the guy's buried, they're not going to know, oh, yeah, in the yeshiva corridor, they named the office wing after him. They won't know that, so it'll be bizarre. But he does say, but if you want to put in the cemetery a more posh at the kind of matzeva and use the extra money to give the yeshiva, that's a good idea. But you see that you have to do that to avoid the notion of bizarre. One other, or two quick issues just to mention, Mamish Rapper, I wanted to get through this. When do you put up the matzeva? At what point do you put on that sefer? So the sefer Kolbo al Avelis, this was written by Rabbi Kusil Yehuda Greenwald, who was a Rav in, of all places, Columbus, Ohio, in the early and mid-1900s, of tremendous Talmud Chochams. He wrote the Kolbo al Avelis. So the Kolbo al Avelis on page 379, he writes, Hazman la'kobos ha-matzeva hu miyad achar shiva. The time to put up the matzeva is immediately after the shiva. And he brings riots like this, and he quotes a shach, that the oval could even go out of the house during the shiva to make sure that the needs are taken care of in terms of the matzeva should be ready. And he says that's the implication of the Gemara. And he quotes in the Peleoids, he quotes numerous riots. He also tells us to take a look in the Minchas Aloza, which I have again, I won't read inside. It's Chela Gimel Simon Lamed Zion. It should be right after the Shiva. That's when you should put it on. He says, and that's what it says that the Chassam Sofer did like that. V'chein Osul Agon Bal Dibri Chaim Misans, and Agon Bal Darkei Tshuva, and then Agon Atzarek Mimunkash. I mean, everyone did it right after the Shiva. So that's what he says is the proper time to put it up. And the Geshar Chaim writes in that same Simon Parak Chavches of Chela Galef, that's the Minigan Eretz Yisrael. To at least do something right after the shiva. They finish the whole stone, a different question, but they put something on. That's in, I'm sorry?
3 days
within. 30 days? Oh, 30 days. Okay, but Geshe Chaim says after the shiva. By 30 days. Okay, they try and start it right after the shiva. The Elyon Rabba, however, does quote. Oh, yeah. So the Elyon Rabba, the Elyon Rabba writes in Orachaim Simon Reish Chof Dalad. In Sifkot and Zion, he writes, "Haminig she'ein on the matzeva at achar Yud Beis Chodesh." He quotes that it's not done until after Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay, why? Mikshum da matzeva nirulach shivus obi Yud Beis Chodesh yeshol tzar. Because the May still has a certain amount of tzar for the first 12 months. We say Kaddish and all this, so we don't put it up till afterwards. Or he gives another reason that after 12 months, based on a pasuk, and actually next we said, after 12 months, so the memory of the May is not as fresh in our mind as it is during the first 12 months, so that's dafkan we have to do it. I'll mention quickly, Bekiva Eger says the same thing in his Hagos to the Shulchan Aruch. He also mentions 12 months. There's a different minhagim. Bekiva Eger is in Yerodea Simon, I think, Shin. Yeah, it's Hagos to Simon Shin Ayin Vav. Haminig de'ein ma'mida matzevat achar Yud Beis Chodesh. So it's different minhagim as to exactly when it is. And I think around here it's done within the first year. That's the common practice. A last issue. Are you allowed to put English names, English dates and stuff on the matzeva? So here there's a couple of tshuvas in the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik was a Talmud of Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer also a tshuva about it, but I'll read quickly from the Maram Shik. What? Well, either way, let's see. The Maram Shik. Oh, that's what I want to say. The Maram Shik absolutely goes to town in Tshuva Chelek Yerodeya, Simon Kuf Ayin Al Maram Shik. Right, Maram Shik in general was very into making sure people use the Hebrew names. In fact, the name Shik is an abbreviation for Shem Yisrael Kodesh. When they pass the law, you have to have last names. So he said, what do you mean last names? That's not, we're called, my last name is, Menachem Mendel Ben Yehuda. I'm not, what kind of business is the last names? But the government made a rule, so he took the name Shik, Shem Yisrael Kodesh. I'm Shik. Anyway, in this tshuva, he writes, can you put on a matzeva, Loshen Nagoyim, and so on? So he says, absolutely not, it's not right, we shouldn't have other names, and we learn a mako from Yaakov, and our language, Loshen HaKodesh. So he thinks you shouldn't put names, but he says, and certainly the dates, he writes at the end, okay, to put on the Goyish date, you know, in the 2003, which is from the birth, you know, from the Goyish calendar, of, you know, from the birth of their, you know, of their God and so on and so forth. That's terrible. He says that's, you know, it's something which is Avera Kfulum Chupelis. I mean, Mamish, you know, inveighs against it very, very strongly. The Geshe Chaim, in the same source, says He just says more partially. He says you shouldn't do it. Ravad Yosef as a tshuva. He's talking about in general using goyish dates and names and so on. This tshuva is in Chelak Gimel, Chelak Yeridayas Siman Tes. Ravad Yosef talks about writing on a document and so on and so forth, putting non-Jewish dates. So you have to go back and forth. And he quotes this Maram Shik, but he also quotes in the Kobal Avelos. Interesting enough, Ravad Yosef sees everything. So in the Kobal Avelos, it's on page 380. So he and it's footnote number 2 over there. So he mentions, well, you don't have to be so mock, but after all, we find sometimes, and he quotes tshuvas where they use the English date. And the Ramor wrote a tshuva, and he referred to the Goyisha date. And he says as well, many svarim, you open up the front page, it says it was printed in such and such a year, 1832, and nobody tainas against it. That's what he writes in this tshuva. However, in a subsequent tshuva, he thinks, well, you know, that may be true about if you're writing a check or something along those lines, but if you're writing, for a matzeva, it's not really right. However, the Kobal Avelos is makel about it, so you have to look in the different communities what the minig is. There's a sefer called that they published, came out a couple years ago, called Harav Mibrisk. It's a biography of Belville, of Yitzhak Zev Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, of Yasha Be'er's uncle. This is a volume Aleph, you know, the unlimited amount of stuff about the Brisker Rav. It's a lot of very interesting pictures in this particular book. So one of them, on page 552, they have the good photographs of Brisk and Vilna. Anyway, so and a lot of Gedolim pictures. So they have a little piece about Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, and it has a picture of the matzeva of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and the Rebbetzin Pesha Soloveitchik, the Rav's Mama's mother. So in the you can see it here, page 552, by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, it says Hagona Chassid Moshe Ben Agadol Shmi Pivon Achaim, you know, everything's in Hebrew. By the Rebbetzin, it says Harabon is Pesha Soloveitchik. In the bottom, it says in English characters Pesha Soloveitchik, January 2, 1967. So it could perhaps be medayim here that the Rav was not so makbid on agreed perhaps with the author of the Kobal Avelos. Although I will tell you that I when I was in Boston, I observed something about the. Where the Rav, at that time, the Rav's wife was buried. Now the Rav is also buried there in Boston. So I asked Rav Shechter about it. And I thought it was questionable why he did it that way. So Rav Shechter told me that he heard from someone, an older Rav, that you can't be so mech on what the Rav did when his wife died. He was so tzabrochen. He was so mixed up. You can't make any riots from what he did. His mother, his brother, and his wife all died in a very short time span. So I don't know if that would apply to this as well, but I feel I have to mention that. But from the simple looking at the picture, it would look like the Rav wasn't so makbid. I'll just conclude with the statement of the Minchas Yitzhak and one thing for Rav Moshe. The common practice today regarding to matzevas is to have what we call an unveiling. Okay, Rav Moshe writes in a subsequent tshuva, the same thing, Yerodei Chelek Dalav, in Simon Samech Aleph, he says, Inyan ha-kamas ha-matzevah she-be'etzem ein lazeh shum chiyub la-soso be-pirsum gadol. There is no such thing in halacha as an unveiling. And, you know, he said, we never had such a thing. Lo ra'isi bi-Europe ma-kamas ha-isi she-also be-zeh shum davar. He says, in fact, nobody got together. You don't need a minyan and a tehillim. He said, in fact, what they often did was, when the stone was ready, the gabbet ha-chever kadisha went out to the cemetery and he put it up. And if he needed help schlepping, he got a couple of goyim and he paid him $5 and they put it up. And they didn't have any ceremony and any of this. And all of this is, Rav Moshe said, you didn't have it. Okay? And therefore, the only thing he says, however, today, Aval Ulai came in Shabadina Zu America, Osin Akama Samatse Barov Am, and people come and the Rabbonim give a drush and whatever else. So this guy's not going to show up. It'll make a whole tumult in the family. So he better go. But I mean, basically, there's no halachic import to having what we call an unveiling. He doesn't say it's chukas hagoyim exactly, though I think to put this curtain or whatever they put on, I thought is not right. But he doesn't say it's chukas hagoyim, but he says there's no halachic import to it. Huh? Who does that? Goyim don't have it as a b'chol. Okay, but maybe it's not chukas hagoyim, but whatever it is, it's something that has no. It certainly has. But not on a tombstone. Okay. So. For this reason, I mean, there's some discussion even about having HaKamas HaMatzeva. Can you have it? That's what Dayan Weiss, Ne'erech HaRedis, and Minchas Yitzchok, and Chela Gimel, Tshuva Nun Aleph, and Nun Beis. Can you have a HaKamas HaMatzeva on Chanukah, on Purim, on Lag Bomer? So, Rosh Chodesh, you know, we don't say Tachanun. So he said, well, strictly speaking, it would appear that since it's not the answer, it would be yes, except that now we do have Hespedim, and the Rosh says you shouldn't do it because you're not supposed to be Masper. He mentions, though, that the Maharsham, who put up his wife, it happened to be Lag Bomer, right after the Shiva, he put it up even though it was on Lag Bomer. So maybe he didn't give any drushes. Lastly, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Avas Chesed, it's important because people are misprioritized here. You know, they make a big deal about a rabbi. You know, I don't want to say that it's another way for the rabbi to make a few dollars. laws, but that's what it seems that it is, at least in the United States, to have such an unveiling. But the people spend a lot of money on fancy matzevahs. The Chofetz Chaim writes in Sefer Avos Chesed, Chelek Beis, Perek Tesvav, and a footnote on the bottom, he writes, I see that people spend lots of money, you know, better would be to do something, you have to put up matzevahs for all the reasons we discussed, but in addition to that, one should also maybe not spend so much on that and use the money for tzedakah, for yeshivas, for other purposes. That's also very important for the zchus of the niftar. Thank you for listening.
Good to
vote. What's that? Right, that's true.
No,
yeah.
Different thing, January, February, no, where did we get our names from?
Right, that's true.
So it's no basis.
Okay.
Yeah, you pick me up whenever you can, all right?